Unlock the full potential with your business with Leadershipity. Our proven strategies have fueled growth for countless organizations. Ready to elevate your leadership and scale your success? Book your free 15-minute consultation now. Click the link in the show notes below and let's make your business soar.
Hello and welcome to the Winner Sign Away Show. I am your host, Trent Clark. It is a beautiful day. I am in Pittsburgh today and on with my good friend, John Peterson. John, how you doing at Next Level Financial? What's up, buddy?
I'm doing fine today. Nice, beautiful day in Tampa. And headed home today after a long road trip doing Indianapolis and all the rest where, you know, you and I ran into each other.
Yeah. A little time at the combine. Always good. As people know, I am a serial entrepreneur, a author of Leading Winning Teams. I am an international speaker and a long-time grow coach, helping companies double their EBITDA very fast. And most people know me because I spent 13 years in professional baseball coaching in 3 World Series. And man, John, it was so great to run into you at the combine, always talking about finances, which has been near and dear to my heart. You know, I'm the son of an accountant, right? So it's like, man, you start making money. And I think a lot of people, John, have this impression that, hey, when you have money, you don't have problems anymore. Well, having a lot of money creates a lot of problems, right? A lot of people want to come and get it. You got these hangers on. You've got all sorts of challenges. Like, what do I do with it? How do I not blow it? You know, I think I might put this thing in a coffee can if someone gave me $18 million and buried it in my backyard. You know, like, it's a hard decision to make, and we need trusted advisors like yourself. When you're running into that with these athletes, what have you learned along the way?
Well, it's really interesting because what you're talking about is sort of a scale up. I mean, if the average salary in America is $50,000, and these guys are getting $890,000 their rookie season.
Minimum.
So what you mentioned, your friends, you know, your friends become enemies and your enemies become friends. You get friends who don't understand why you don't just share your wealth with them because they've been there the whole time. Well, they haven't been there the whole day. They haven't been running with you. They haven't been sitting in the sun. They haven't been pounded by guys at practice. They haven't been there, right? They know they like money. They know that what it does for them, but they don't really understand how to make it and then how to hang on to it. Because the contract says you're rich. It does not say you're wealthy. Wealth is when it works for you. So the trouble that guys have is figuring out somebody they can trust, number one, and that's what we help them do. And then the second thing is finding out where to put your money and then how to split it up, because it's like a financial diet. You know, you're going to have vegetables, you're going to have starch, you're going to have a meat and a protein. Well, you're going to have stocks, you're going to have bonds, you're going to have real estate when you buy your first home, but then it's business ownership. And those are the only 4 areas you really make money in America. My business ownership is stocks and bonds. You know, I own homes and I've done very well owning homes through the years, but it's not my profession. I don't flip homes on a regular basis. But
yeah.
So what I find is, you know, when you get these guys, the hardest thing the first year is keep them from making mistakes, because they're like a pony ready to run and get out of the chutes. They want to buy a house for mom. They want to, you know, buy a big house for themselves. They want to do cars. They want to get jewelry. All the things that they see that this business is about on the backside, but they don't know the front side, which is hard work. You're coming to a team and you're being paid a salary and a bonus to come to a team, but you're taking a job of somebody else. And he has a wife and kids and school and everything else. He's not just going to gleefully give it up to you, unless he gets cut. But other than that, you know, you need to make the team. You need to take somebody's job, make a difference in the first 3 years. And that takes focus. And a lot of guys get unfocused in the first 3 years. So reining it in is the hardest thing.
When something new happens, right? A big transition in sports, you know, we see it from going from 8th grade to freshman year in high school. It's a lot of change, like, you know, the new dynamic. And then you go from high school to college and there's all these new coaches and new dynamics all over the place. And, you know, new weight room, new expectations, new schedules. And it's the same thing. Now you go into pro sports and, man, that first year, hey, try not to play Mr. Shark Tank investor. You know, like this is not like, oh my God, buddy, I'm gonna help my buddy do a startup and I'm gonna be buying real estate transactions. Like, whoa, man. First of all, like, the Shark Tank folks are worth hundreds of millions, if not bees, right? Like, they've got a lot of money. Like, they are throwing out like, oh, I'll give you $150,000 for this 10%. And if this $150,000 goes to zero, it is not going to change their lifestyle. Like, it is not going to affect them in the slightest, because they are playing with, you know, what we call house money, right? Like, this is not going to affect their daily life. So while you're love to help people out, and I love a good heart who's love to buy things for friends and everything else, man, it's a time to take inventory, slow down, and But this is where these trusted advisors come in, John. Someone to come alongside and help somebody through that, because natural that if you got more than $500, that's more money than you've ever seen in your life, thinking that's going to last forever. And you've probably never actually experienced the tax implication of $1.5 million. Wait, how much do I owe the federal government? Like, that's a lot, right? You owe the federal government alone like 22%, like right now. And you're like, wow, I'm almost taking a quarter of this like off the deal right now, because that's how our tax system works. And, you know, that's a hard thing. That's, you know, I'm sure that doesn't feel like much when you make $50,000. And first of all, it's not 22% when you're making $50,000. And so it's a real factor of how fast that money can go.
Well, and you work the formula backwards. You've said, look, if you want to live on $100,000 at 4 or 5% interest rates that we currently have, what would you need in the bank? Well, it's certainly more than what your first contract's going. You know, your mm-hmm. first contract right now might be $2.5 million. Well, after taxes, you're down at about 150, 175.
Yep.
Then you throw in expenses. Now, is that a problem? Yeah, because you have to figure out where to put it, you know, how to build yourself. So the biggest thing is budgeting with these guys.
Yeah.
Get them to understand how much they can spend their first year. Do they buy, they rent? You know, you get a guy go up to Green Bay and he wants to buy a home because he can afford a $2 million home. Well, when you go to leave Green Bay and nobody's from Green Bay, you're going to leave. Who are you going to sell it to? Your captive audience that you only can sell to the football players that are willing to pay that. You know, so don't go over in Green Bay. Don't go over, say, $400,000 in a home, because that'll get you a 4-bedroom home in Green Bay. And you can sell it when you're ready to leave. So it's just getting to understand, what's the budget in Los Angeles or New York? Well, it's certainly going to be higher. Where do you live? Who do you talk to? What's for rents? You know, all those little subtle questions are what a good financial guy ought to have lined up for you and ready to go.
Yeah. And I think just, you know, I think what you said was just really, really pertinent. So just to put a number to what John just said, you know, working backwards, 4% is $2.5 million invested, right? 4 or 5%. So this is like your jumping off point of where like your returns on that investment can pay you that $100,000 a year, and you can live off that. Because once you've bought a home and you don't have like, when you have property taxes, I mean, in the big cities where it's really costly, you might have property tax of $30,000. That's a big number in a lot of like a Chicago community and things like that. New York, Chicago, LA. But you know, you're not going to pay $30,000 in taxes in Green Bay, in Phoenix, Arizona. Like, these are not going to be those charges. But, you know, for $100,000 of living, you know, this is $2.5 million set aside. That's why when John says, that's not your first contract, right? Like, that's not where people come out of the gate to find out whether you have the ability to stay in this league or not. So it is a challenge. And, you know, and I think it's the same way in entrepreneurial work, right? I remember my first company where I really started making money, and one of my friends came and asked me, he's like, hey, man, you think you could mortgage my $500,000 house? Because the bank doesn't want to give me a loan, and you made $2 million last year. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, he wants me to give him $450,000 and loan that out, you know, at 6 or 7% at that time. And I'm thinking like, hey, do you understand, like, the company revenued $2 million? I didn't make $2 million. Like, I have a spending plan on that $2 million. Sure. Of about $1.6 million. So if I make $400,000, I feel like I'm doing great, man. That is like 20%, man. Like, that's a good margin of return in a business. And so, you know, it was clear he did not get that, right? Like, he did not understand that.
Well, and that's it. I mean, I had a client who won the lottery, you know, $74 million in the lottery. And the first thing that happened was one of the in-laws wanted to be their financial guy. He had no background in it. He didn't even have licensing to it. He wanted to be that, and he was being paid $100,000 a year. I said, well, you're going to get, you know, $800,000 every year. You're going to have taxes on that. So now you have to carve out another $100,000 just to pay him. I said, it doesn't make any sense. We'll run your $1 million. We'll charge you $10,000 to run $1 million. You know, we'll charge you nothing. So really, because you can write that off your taxes and get it back. So the dynamics, people don't understand the dynamics of it. And kind of going back to what you were saying before, you get these kids that say, I'll open a coffee shop, I'll run it, you pay for it, and we'll split the profits. I'm thinking, okay, ask yourself slowly, if that goes out of business, he's just out time. He didn't put anything in, he's just out time. You bought him, you know, some time to put a dream of his together.
Yep.
What do you plow? Because you're not in the same business you and I are in. You and I are, as long as we can use our brain and our mouths, we can work till we're 85 years old. These guys will not. They'll be done in 3 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Hopefully within a Hall of Fame career, but the reality is, you know, 10, 13 years is a heck of a career. And it's not always guaranteed you go to the Hall of Fame.
But yeah.
You're trying to get these kids to say, look, I'm going to put you on $120,000 a year budget. That's $10,000 a month. You're making $895. So you're going to think I'm crazy. But at the same time, you sock that money away. And all of a sudden, the rookie dinner comes and it's $5,000. The parents want to be flown out to every game. Every one of your friends wants a jersey, which, you know, they pay for. They don't get them free. You know, there's just these subtleties that people assume in the business. And all of a sudden, it costs the player. And he doesn't know how to say no. So I'll put a buffer like me in between because I don't have the emotional connection I have to the parents. We'll say, look, it doesn't fit our budget. You want to borrow money for a coffee shop? We have lenders available. They'll never call those lenders. They just never wanted to work out easy for them.
Yeah. No, and it's such a good example, right? Even down to tickets, like, hey, you're a player, man. Like, you can get me like 10 tickets for me, my friends, my, you know, my family. Like, hey, man, 10 tickets at like $350 a ticket. Like, right? That's $3,500. Like, just like that is not, you have to pay for, or you have to pay taxes on certain, even if you get free ones. Right. Well, you have to pay the taxes on the four free ones that you have or whatever. Sure. Right.
Well, the 49ers drafted a kid out of Washington State who was a local kid. So every game that played, all the local 15 kids showed up at $100, $125 a ticket. I mean, it's costing $1,500 to $2,000 every game he played. And he was only making, I think at the time, he'd probably make a 12 or 13 a game. And that's before.
Yeah.
So he was pretty much giving away every paycheck to his friends to come watch him play. And we had to put a stop to it.
Yeah,
it did make me popular with everybody, but sorry, my client.
Yeah, like you're trying to accumulate. And, you know, unfortunately in that business, man, it's a real short time. It's a real short window of earnings, right? And yes, there's a lot of money to be a warrior, and that's awesome. But it is a, don't mistake anything else. You will pay a price for that money, man. I mean, you know, I meet these guys at 45, 50 years old, and it's tough sledding, man. They're beat up.
Talked about this a little bit in Indianapolis. You know, we want to treat these guys like they're 62 years old in their first contract. And what that means is, how would a 62-year-old run his money? He'd pay off his house. He'd pay off his debts, keep them very low, you know, have car debt maybe, but other than that, no credit card debt. And then he would have his money earning him an income to get ready for retirement. Okay, so you do that at 20 years old, 21 years old. At 24 years old, you go to a second contract. Now he treats you like you're 40 and you have 25, 30 years to retire. Now you can look at business opportunities. Now you can, you know, maybe buy a duplex in the area and start becoming a guy if you want to do real estate. We've had some guys do that and they're very good. The problem, again, is that they get into real estate. It's all been going up for the last 10 years, 15 years. And all of a sudden, when that market pulls back and hits hard, and they're too heavy in it. So balance is also the key. And so we try to liken it to a football game plan, that everybody goes into a game with a plan. And if their plan executes, they don't change it. But weather, injuries, the other team's success, your failures, whatever, might make you at halftime change your game around. So go in with an idea of what you're going to do. But if you say, well, I have a budget of $10,000 a month, and all of a sudden your parents need cancer surgery or something, and you need to help out, that's a variable, and they do happen. And so you have to just be prepared for it. So it's, our focus is really making sure that the kids are always in control of themselves. Market goes down, two planes hit a building, the market stops. Doesn't matter to them. They have money set aside for short term, money set aside for medium term, long term. Retirement by the league. League takes very good care of them in retirement and healthcare and insurance. But it's interesting because a lot of financial guys want to sell these guys insurance and annuities right up front because tickets are 5% to 25% of the premium he put in. They're huge. These kids don't need it. They get insurance from the league. League gives you automatically an insurance base. I think it's $800,000 as a rookie, and they max it out at $1.3 million. So if you're single with a couple of assets and no children, you don't need insurance. But these guys try to sell this stuff.
Yep.
Money, the contracts they have, let them fund the inevitables. Kids going to school, buying a house, passing away. It helps you fund those inevitabilities. So take a look at them, see where you are, where your need is, and then fill it.
Yeah, man, you know, it's good. I think one of the things that you said that stuck out there was, you know, thinking like as a 62-year-old, I'm a 62-year-old rookie, like looking at this on the way back, because it's funny that it's so far out. Most kids can't even fathom that, sure. Right? Like, but showing them how that works, like when you don't have a monthly mortgage, you're just typically someone's largest expense as a homeowner, right? Every paycheck is every month I'm giving X amount of percent. It's a big number. The one that I thought was interesting is you talked about, like, I always paid cash for cars, right? And you're saying, hey, that's okay to have a payment on the car. And I like that advice. And the reason John's saying that is because while a depreciating asset, it's a car, but you need it. It's a need. You got to get from point A to point B, and it's insured. So whatever the value is that you have in that, if a catastrophic, I went through this about 4 months ago. I was blindsided in November with someone ran a red light and T-boned me. And Yeah, man, that it jangles your world for a second, except I have insurance. I got the full value of whatever was on the car. So if I would have had a payment, you know, the car's covered because I'm insured for it. So I think it's great advice. And so, and I think that's where people are thinking like, hey, what should I put cash on? What can I leverage from a financial standpoint in debt? And it's good debt for me. So there's definitely a difference between good debt and bad debt. A lot of people don't understand that.
Traditional debt's going to be your mortgage and your car. What I'm saying is when you're due on a credit card at 22% with a rate, you know, if you have the debt on that, first thing I'm going to do is tell you to pay that off because that's a guaranteed 20% return. I can't guarantee you that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to grind your money along to create a growth pattern while you play. So you don't have to pay taxes on any income while you play because you already have a contract doing it. And then you convert that to bond funds. But over the last 10 years, bond funds have been at 1%. You can't live on that. You have to be in a stock paying 4%, something like that. So now what you're finding is interest rates went up. Everybody backed out of those, what they call bond surrogates, like a Verizon paying 4%. They backed out of that and the stock took a tumble. But, you know, if you get your bases covered, at Costco, Microsoft, Home Depot, you know, the basic companies, then you go out and you take a look, high flyers that are coming along. And right now, AI is the space. You know, all you have to do is put AI behind your name.
NVIDIA rolling, man.
Yeah, NVIDIA. But you also have the board makers are out there. You have the guys making the facilities for them. You know, the silicon makers that are making the stuff for the chips.
100%.
Distribution and everything else. But it's also going to help a lot of companies as it goes along. And just with, say, back office service, you know, we've all called into a phone company and get that recording that takes you and loops you and loops you and drives you crazy. Well, now with AI, all you have to do is talk into the phone, tell them what you want. They'll direct you to the right department. And so you'll get some things that will be very good. And of course, everything has problems to it that we just don't foresee that others will try to take advantage of, right? So faking people's voices and fake news and that kind of stuff will weed itself out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we're very good as a society of leaning into that intended consequence. Like, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to make our life easier. It's going to do all these things like, hey, has anyone considered the unintended consequences of some of these negative things, how people can use it to steal your identity? And I mean, it's crazy.
A great example, electric vehicles, right? Sun versus oil. Well, okay, sunshine's better than oil. Sure, let's do it. Well, then you start looking at this cradle of grave on these things and the child labor in a foreign country, giving a lot of the power to foreign entities to own the processing of how we're going to move ourselves around. It's just, you know, people are starting to really go, wait a minute, maybe hybrid is the better way to go, or you get green, you get electric in the city and you get gas on the highway, you know, because I do a lot of fishing in Montana and, you know, you can go 75 miles before you see the next town or city. I mean,
not a great place to own an electric vehicle unless it's run by solar power, maybe, because you're right. And I think the other thing you're seeing, too, is like where you have like a state like California that's very progressive in a lot of concepts and ideas. You grew up there as the son of a submarine commander, which I love that story. And you see like, wow, you know, really cool idea and incentivize those electric car vehicles. And now you got problems on the grid, man. We're putting blackouts and now we're going to ration how much you can use your vehicle. Like, hey, that's not a good space to be in. All of a sudden we're like, and by the way, the green initiative goes to crap for me because you got to burn a lot of coal to create electricity. I don't know if you know how this works, but like we got to go to the root, man. And I feel like some progressive ideas often end up neglecting the root cause of things and challenges along the way.
Well, and my father was a nuclear power. He was a power engineer from Naval Academy. And of course, nuclear was his specialty.
Yeah.
So put him on nuclear submarines. Okay. Well, when his career was over, he went to work for a major engineering firm that was building them, but they were not building any nuclear power plants in America. So his jobs were all overseas, you know, China, Japan, India, they were putting them in all over the world there. Now everybody's now talking about going back to nuclear because, you know, there are the like anything in life, it's gotten better. The ability to build it, make it, secure it, you know, use it has all gotten better. And so now, I mean, people are a little more open to listening about that.
You know, it's funny. It's funny when I think about that, John, because a lot of nuclear energy was stalled because of fear. Chernobyl, like, man, something happened. You got a major leak and it's like, you know, it's terrible, right? But, you know, yet we ignore here in our country, Chernobyl's got nothing on the damage some of our food has cost us. Like that we put in our foods every day that we feed kids and go, oh, hey, this is great. And then they're all waking up at 50 with diabetes and heart attacks and I mean just terrible issues that were known issues in products that we're consuming. And it's like kind of going under the radar because it's, hey, it's just this little thing in one food that you eat every day.
Sure.
And then it's like, oh my gosh, like we
McDonald's example, you know, kid can go in, get a full meal for $3 or go to the store and get one apple. Well, what's he going to do? He's going to go to McDonald's, get a full meal. And so it's wrong. You know, there's so many things that have to be redone in the inner city. I mean, especially education focus, you know, you can't take an education away from somebody, right? You take everything else, you give them away. And that's why our school system is horrible. I truly think this government loves them dumb and obedient. And as long as they have them, that they have no place to go but to the government for help.
Which is scary. It's a scary thing, right? It's a scary thing when that starts going like, let's pivot a little bit to, you know, another scary challenge for these athletes. You wake up with at 30 years old with some money in the bank. You know, I see a lot of athletes lose purpose. Like, hey, what do I do with myself? Right. I wrote the book Leading Winning Teams. You can pick up that now at, you know, it's on presale at Barnes and Noble and Amazon. So please check that out. And when I wrote that, like I was focused on the skills that all these athletes are learning in sport and how they transfer that to their organizations, to leadership, to business. And there's tons of great skills that are learned that transfer very well, extremely well. And people think, well, because I didn't go get a college degree, I didn't finish or this, I don't have any skills. And that's just not true, right? And so, but there's also this challenge of like, who retires at 30 years old, John? Like, that's not always great for people either to figure out, where am I going to put my purpose? Where am I going to put my time?
Well, and I don't think you ever retire from life. You retire from something you're doing. And in football, your body forces you to kind of do that or at some point your talent wanes enough where you're asked to go. And so part of the thing we try to get these guys to understand is that you need to shake hands with everybody you're meeting. You need to get their cards. You need to talk to them. Don't commit yourself to doing anything with them or anything else. But along that path of playing football, you're going to go from college to an international business to a new town. And it's a confusing time. So the first year you want to hang on to your money, but you want to, you know, if you're going to do something big, buy a home, get married, do one of those a year, because you know, in training, if you do something for 20 days repetitively, it becomes your habit. It becomes your personality. Well, you put yourself in a confusing situation for 6 months. Well, now confusion is what you understand and you're comfortable. And when it gets calm, you get fidgety. You don't know what to do. So the opposite is do things in a slow manner and build them up as you.
Yeah, that's good, John. All right, man. Well, listen, I know I got to wrap. We both got a time schedule today. But, you know, for those people out there, John, you know, who were struggling, you know, winners find a way. We always talk about this. Winners, when shown data that they're losing, find a way to win. When people have maybe not made the best decisions along in their early days, and now they're playing a little catch up, they're playing from behind. We know on the eighth grade wonder of the world and compound interest, it's never great to play from behind on compound interest. But the reality is that, you know, you can be wise about it. What would you tell somebody who's playing a little catch up and just starting to get back to where they think they should be?
Well, yeah, that if they didn't pay attention, spend all their money, you know, what happens is when they're done playing, there's no more money. You lose your personality, you lose your friendships, you lose your income all in one afternoon. It's a very shocking thing for players unless you've been shaking hands with people and prepping for your next career. But if you end the years or your playing career without any money, then you're taking the first job because you have bills. Bills don't go away. You're taking your first job that comes out. From a catch-up standpoint, you know, you just got to get yourself in a position where you can, you know, make $100,000 a year, and that's tough. I mean, what I just said says you're making twice what the average person is. Well, if you come out of football and all you've ever known is football, then you're kind of an average person. Your knowledge base is based on the people around you and the things that you've seen. But if you've connected yourself with somebody, a real estate developer or somebody like that, you can get in that business and start to go. We had one guy that sold spines for Zimmer, and he started working in the firms, and they loved having him in the operating room because he had stories about Drew Brees, the guys he played with. Well, he went to make $180,000 the first year out of school and never looked back. He's been doing great. And that is now his business. So it's really hard to play catch up if you're behind. I mean, you're 20 points down. Everybody knows what's coming. You're throwing bombs. And bombs either get caught, dropped, or intercepted. Maybe you get a penalty flag, so maybe you can bring it up to 50-50. But really, you're only third is going to be successful. What you want to do, like all kids when you talk, run the ball, play defense. That's what you do.
Fundamentals.
And then you can add in screen passes. Then you can add in some trick plays or whatever. Then you can add in bombs. And if you if you're incomplete in a bomb in a business, you write it off your taxes and you go back to, you know, try to go back to work. But you're going to lose that money. And so having the money to be able to lose, that sounds dumb, but you want to keep it a percentage. You want to keep business ownership about 10% of your total net worth. So if you got $1 million, don't put more than $100,000 into whatever business. Now we break down the business and decide, is it right for you? We get you professionals that can answer your questions, because we're good, but we're not professional at everything. And so if you want to, you know, build apartments, you want to start an ice cream shop, you want to, you know, whatever you want to do, we want to make sure we get you information on how to do it correctly. And so if it is your passion, but if you just have money and you're throwing in a bunch of stuff just to see how it sticks, you're just going to be out the money.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. John, thank you so much again for joining us. I appreciate you doing this, and it's so wonderful to catch up at the Combine and talk a little shop there. And thankful that you could join us. I mean, I'm super big fan of Next Level Financial. You know, you've been doing this a long time, so trusted advisor to many. So thankful to John Peterson and his time. John, any final words today?
No, I appreciate you letting me come on. I hope that you get some success out of these things. If anybody, you know, needs to talk with me, certainly they can go through you and find out how to get a hold of me.
Yeah, we'll put your email. We'll put your email in the show notes, and so people can get a hold of you. For everybody else, Winners Find a Way show every Friday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 a.m. Pacific. Also, we got a super exciting two events coming up, as I'll be speaking online on the 16 strategies of growth and leading winning teams. That's coming up here at on March, I think, 26th. You can check out that in the show notes, and that'll be, you can sign up on Eventbrite, and that's virtual, so you and your team can join in a great event. And then we'll have a great growth retreat for leaders and investors down in Tulum, Mexico. That's coming up at the end of April, April 28th and May 1st. That is going to be a fabulous event with networking with some of the best of the best business leaders. There's a qualifier there for size of companies that join us, but we would love to have you on that trip. So come alongside and join us if you're out there and looking for you know, some real estate to mitigate and expand your portfolio, and certainly learn a little bit about growth in your team. So it'll be a great event. For everybody, thanks again for joining us on Winners Find a Way.
Organizations come to me all the time with challenges of execution and communication with their teams. We help build a system through Bloom Growth and software that gives them simplification and prioritization. I teach, facilitate, and coach these organizations to literally double their value. If you're interested in gaining your individual and organizational growth, please email me at trent@leadershipity.com or click the link below and book a 15-minute call on my Calendly.